Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our purpose statement at Bridge Church is to reach people where they are and help them grow. We hope today's message inspires you towards growth, and we pray it's life-changing, and we hope to see you soon. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for the chance to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, God, for your word. Your word is why we're here, not the words of men. Your spirit is who teaches, not eloquence. It's with that in mind, Lord, never let us depend on a speaker. Let us remind ourselves you've spoken. You've spoken through your word. You've spoken through creation. We're now here to hear a word from you by your spirit. It's because of that we ask that you give us ears to hear, a heart to change, a mind to understand. Do that in such a way, God, that when we walk away from this place, it would be a word from you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in the book of James. The book of James has been interesting, very practical, but something that's important to note, the book of James is intended primarily for a Jewish audience. James chapter 1, verse 1. James tells us straight out the gate. He says in James 1, 1, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, what he's trying to say is he's using that terminology to speak to all Jews who have been scattered because of persecution. So this is a very Jewish book. As he's leaning into the issues within the faith, he's trying to get at something that's happening within Jewish culture. Many Jews have come to know Christ. But in coming to know Christ, they already know Jewish life. They know the rituals. They know the ceremonies. They know the sacrifices. They know the foods, the days, the festivals. They understand Jewish life and Jewish culture. In moving away from Judaism, they were moving away from those rituals, moving away from those ceremonies, moving away from those sacrifices they had to make in order to be considered righteous before God. They were coming to Christ, and they were coming to Christ knowing Christ has died for all of our sins, and he is now the one-time sacrifice, living a life we could not live. He is our righteousness. Dying a death we could not die. He is our sacrifice. And so in so doing, these Jews move from going from all these rituals and ceremonies and festivals and foods to now knowing they're saved by grace. But what James is getting at is they move from one problem, but they're now creating another. You see, there are two problems that can exist if you don't fully understand grace. The first is you can presume you can have a works-based righteousness, i.e. you can work your way into heaven. But the other problem is you can presume it's all grace and you can have a righteousness that doesn't work. It's like a man getting on a horse. He gets on the horse, and as he jumps on the horse, he leans one way too much. Then he leans another way far too much. One way to the right, one way to the left. Works-based righteousness is an extreme, but also a righteousness that doesn't work. James is therefore deeply concerned about people that are just saying, Jesus paid it all. There's no work for me to do. If you remember, in James chapter 1, that's kind of the heartbeat of what he's getting at. Remember in James 1, he said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. thus deceiving yourselves? James is deeply concerned about wanting to see action within the people of God. This is also something that we understand too. Though we're talking about Jewish customs and rituals, here's what he's trying to get at. Many of you believe you're righteous because of the heritage you come from, not because of what happened in your heart. James is trying to attack this idea in the same way Jesus attacked that idea in Matthew chapter 3. Rather, John the Baptist attacked this idea. Remember, John the Baptist said, "Do not presume to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham." Now, John is a bad boy. And one of the things he says, and I want you to know, he's talking to Pharisees and Sadducees when he says this. He says, some of you think because of your lineage and heritage and you grew up in these rituals, you presume that Abraham is your father by lineage, by heritage. Then he says, if God wanted to, he could create children for Abraham out of rocks. Now, you would be surprised. Birth is a miracle, amen? Anytime a baby happens, it's just, look at the baby, and we're just amazed. Every birth is a miracle, humanistically speaking. But if you saw a rock have a baby, I think we would say, that's not real. That's something miraculous. That is stupendous. That is out of this world. And what he's trying to get at is something very powerful. You think children of God are born by lineage. God could make children of God out of rocks. What he's trying to get at is, you think when people grow up in church, they're always going to be in church because they know church. God can take people from the streets that ain't never been to church. See, some of you were church kids, praise God, but some of you come from rocks. Some of you come from the streets. Some of you come from backgrounds where you got no business knowing God. Some of you have deacons and deaconesses, and your mama was over Christian education, but some of you, your daddy wasn't over Christian education. You know what I'm talking about? He was over the streets, as they call it. And what I'm trying to tell you is, he's saying, I don't need your mama and daddy to get people to love God. Your heritage, your lineage is not the indication of faith. For I can get faith out of a rock, he says. But there is something else that James is trying to get at, a deeper idea. And what he's trying to get at beyond the issue of heritage is he's getting at this idea that our faith will always be accompanied by works, and if there is a faith that is not synonymous with works, then it is not our faith. He said the two will always be seen together. Jesus connected this idea in Matthew 5 when he said, "You are the light of the world." He says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, in order to understand what Jesus was trying to get at when he says, you are the light of the world, because if you look earlier, Jesus says that he's the light. But what does he mean? He says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So he, if you notice, what he says is, you as a believer have light. And you as a believer, he uses light as an indication of good works. And he says these good works, they reflect back onto God. People see your good works, it glorifies your Father. Lamps are completely unuseful if they cannot be lit. a lamp, or let's say a candle, which is something that we might use, a candle that has no wick is just a bunch of wax. It's an ornament. It looks nice, but it is useless. And what he is trying to get at is the candle has the wick. And then what has to happen? The wick must be touched by the flame. And when that flame touches that wick, then that flame becomes another flame. And thus the light happens in the room. He's not saying you have good works. He says when you engage me, I'm the light, you're the lamp, I light you up, and now good works emanate from you. What he's trying to get at is we're not the light, but we're lit.
Come on, Pastor.
And that's why he's saying they glorify God in heaven. Notice if we were the light and we weren't lit, it's supposed to glorify us on earth. Yeah. But he's saying, I'm the light, you're lit, it glorifies me in heaven. Yeah. It glorifies the Father. You see, and this is why it is good for us to testify of our works really having its origin story in the Holy Ghost and not us. Yeah. It's okay every now and then to say, I'm really not a nice person. That's the kindness of Jesus. It's okay to say, you know, I'm really not that peaceful. I'm borrowing the peace of Christ. I'm really not that patient. That's the patience of Christ. And so here's what James, all he's trying to do. He's got these Christians with no works, but he's trying to get them to ignite to the flame. Really what he's trying to tell them is, it's time to get lit. It's time to get lit. The flame is right there. The wick is right there. But the problem is the wick is not touching the flame. Therefore, the flame is not igniting the wick. And you are a candle that is not burning. It's time to get lit. James is trying to move them into action so that they might glorify their Father in heaven. Amen? Genuine transforming faith will always produce good works. Look in James chapter 2 with me. James chapter 2. James says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Now, this is a profound question he's asking. He says, what good is it? But I want you to notice how James phrases this. He says, my brothers, if someone says. That's what he's trying to point out. He's trying to point out a professed faith. They say this. But he's acknowledging that though they are having a confession that Jesus is real and true, there is no accompanied works. So at the end of verse 14, he then asks a question. Can that faith save him? Now, I want you to notice what New Testament linguists have done, the writers and the scholars that have written the scriptures, or basically manuscripted them. What they've done is they've made it clear what James is trying to get at. In the ESV and the NIV and the NLT, if you notice, he says, can that faith save him? The ESV. In the NIV, it says, can such faith save them? In the NLT, it says, can that kind of faith save anyone? Here's what James is trying to get at. James is trying to say that there is a version of a faith that is exclusively professed, but does not actually accompany with works. And what he's trying to say is That's a version of our faith, but it doesn't get you saved. Wow. It's a profound, popular kind of faith. This is going to blow your mind. There are people that just say they're saved, but they never look saved. Wow. And he's saying that's a type of faith where you go around professing faith, but this version is a knockoff. He's saying it's a counterfeit faith. And like all counterfeits from far away, looks real.
Come on.
I made a disastrous error one time. I said I'm going to buy my daughter Jordans. And I found some website. You know where this is going, Saints. And my God, the prices were amazing, astounding. All types. I'm not a sneakerhead, so I wouldn't know. Purchased. My daughter said, "This, you got three of these?" Now you're a New Balance kind of dad, but you got us three Jordans a piece. I'm like, yeah. Do you know what happened? My daughter went to school. First 10 minutes, amazing. People were like, what? The sneakerheads came up behind her and they started flicking the back of it. And somehow that's some kind of authenticating, let the sneakerheads gather and know what they mean by that. And they said, look, I just want you to know, everybody else is going to think that's real. But I just want you to know, you have a knockoff. It looks like the real thing, but it's not real at all. And my kids, of course, came home so mad. Why did you put us in that position? And I was like, well, it was a good price. And my daughter said something profound. They said, Dad, if it's that cheap, it's probably not real. And I just want you to know, that if you know, I'm saying that you might need to be the sneakerhead for your friend with the knockoffs. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, you might need to be that friend that comes behind them and says, look, if you believe that your faith can be just what you profess, but you never sacrifice anything, you never have any accompanying works, you might have a knockoff faith, a fraudulent faith. And it would be your kindness to them to let them know the truth. Praise you, Lord. Yeah, that's your child. That's okay. Hey, listen, we all have children. We all been there. All right. James chapter 2, 15 and 16. So he gives this example. He says, this is what I mean when I say you might have a knockoff. He says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of them says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Now, I want you to notice what he does here. Because what he's saying is, the idea that you should have food and you should have clothes seems very Christian. In other words, you agree with the idea that this person shouldn't go hungry. You agree with the idea that this person shouldn't be poorly clothed. So it seems that you agree with the faith. But what he gets at is, you are telling them God can provide, but you never see yourself as the actual blessing and provision God is providing.
Wow, come on.
You say things to them like God is good, but you never see yourself as the expression of God's goodness. You don't have the impulse to actually meet the need. Now, we already talked about this. God is not saying we have to meet everyone's needs. But if you do not have a heart that's broken for the broken, then you may not have the regenerate work of compassion. Because when your heart is changed, your heart changes towards people. I don't care what they told you in Sunday school. If you have a heart that has changed towards God, but you have not had a heart changed towards people yet, you may not know God, because God loves people. I can't stand people. Well, guess what? One, you're a person, so check that. And two, you hate someone God loves. And immediately, if someone doesn't love my children like I love my children, we are in conflict. Even if my daughter is wilding out, I go to the school and I'm like, she is wilding out, but I still love her. Now you go home and give me that phone and do all the things I gotta do. But I care for her. I care for her. I love her. You cannot take away that from me. How dare we presume God in some way doesn't love his creation? God is passionate about people. So that's why all the commands hang off of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, but love your neighbor as yourself. It must manifest itself in compassion towards people. So verse 17, what James gets at is, so also faith, watch this, by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. James uses a very profound word to speak towards this kind of faith. He says, dead. Now, what we can understand from what James is getting at is he's saying that this is dead, but he's writing a letter to people, so they're not dead people. He's saying their faith is dead. By dead, I don't think he primarily means doesn't exist. Although this is a check to those who do not have the faith. What this is meaning not just non-existent, but also inactive. You have a faith that is dead. But what he's getting at is you have a faith that can come alive. Your faith can come alive. That's good. Just as the flame touches the wick and all of a sudden the flame creates a flame. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have all the power to do great things for God. And because of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can see the power of God manifest through your life. You say, I could never be that kind of person. First of all, do not put boundaries on what you can be. Open your mind up to what God wants you to be. Because you're not the flame, he's the flame. And if he lights you up, he will place you where he wants to place you. God is going to put you in a position where he is going to activate your faith and he's going to cause your faith to come alive in such a way that you know it's him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why he says glorify your Father in heaven, because we don't always want to glorify our Father in heaven because we want to take the credit too. Right. So he puts you in a position where you know that wasn't me.
Yeah.
That was the Lord. That was the kindness of God. I am God's employee today. Praise you, Lord. This is the niceness of God, the friendship of God, the beauty of God emanating from my life. And the first person to give God glory will be you. Because you know you are not the light. You know each day I'm being lit. And anything coming from me is from the source of our Heavenly Father. So I just want you to know now, you might be wilding out right now. When I say wilding out, I mean capital W. I mean, I'm saying you're just a fool for the world. I mean, you're just doing all of this. I want you to know it does not matter where you're at right now. If that flame touches you, your life will change. And you will do more for God in the next week than you've done all year. It's not about you. It's about how close you get to the flame. It's not about you. It's about how close you get to the flame. Intimacy with the Father will transform your life, and good works will flow from your life. It all begins with getting close to the flame. Yes. Faith that is dead can come alive. Amen. You are never too far from God. You have not, yes, you've been a fool. Well, guess what? God chooses fools. Lift up your wick to the flame, and your life will transform. Amen?
Amen.
So what James gets at, he's trying to get at this idea that you can become active, action, move towards the Lord. Don't allow your heritage to get in the way. But he now gives this other argument. And he says in verse 18, there's somebody out there that's going to say, you have faith, well, I have works. And so then James comments, show me your faith apart from your works. That's good. But he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you my faith by my works. Notice, he's saying that I'm trying to get you to understand that if you try to have a faith without work, it's dead. But if you just work with no faith, that's dead too. That's what he's trying to get at. I don't know if you know this, but there are people who are trying to earn their way into heaven by their works. Simultaneously, there are people who are not doing work, though they have a relationship with God in heaven. That's the main point. What then is the problem? Well, this is the problem all throughout our city. This is the problem with some of you, maybe even here. These are Jewish kids that came to faith. And they've heard the faith, and they've heard the faith, and they've heard the faith. But somehow in their brain, even though they've heard saved by grace, they still believe they can be saved by works. And what he's saying is, you've got faith, but look at all the good things that I've done. And there are people that actually believe that there's a way that they can be good enough to impress God. That they have some kind of resume that is going to impress God. And it is solely because they do not understand that God is holy and that he will in no way look beyond any of our sins.
Right.
And the greatest presumption that we have is, watch this, it's not just that we do good works at a pharmacy or we do good works in our neighborhood. He's talking about there are people that think they do good religious work and they have no intimacy with Jesus. And those are the people that are the most and easiest to live a delusional life and presume they're going to heaven with someone they actually don't intimately know.
Wow.
This is James's point. You actually think, oh, I have works. Jesus says this. He hits at this idea in Matthew 7. I want you to feel the weight of Matthew 7. In Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. You know what the Bible says in Romans, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
So they're saying all the right things. They're doctrinally on point. Mm-hmm. Lord,
yeah.
Lord. He says, not all those people will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, what is his will? Well, this is what he tells us. On that day, many will come to me and say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in what? In your name. I mean, they're out here speaking the truth of Jesus, under the authority of Jesus. He says, didn't we cast out demons in your name?
Yeah.
And then he says, and do many mighty works in your name. We were out there. We were the first at church. My hands were lifted up. I did all the things that you would think a person would do that knows you. I was very active. And this is what Jesus says, and this is what the weight that we should feel. Jesus says, and then I will declare to them, meaning I will make them aware of something they weren't aware of before. I will declare to them, I never knew you. Now that is a stinging rebuke, because you know what they've been saying this whole time? I know you. And Jesus says, I get it, but I don't know you.
Wow.
Do you see the weight of that? Jesus is almost saying like, I know you know me, but you never got it. I didn't know you. You didn't let me into you. Have you ever had a relationship where it's kind of one way? Now, most of us have relationships where a person just tells us about them. But I know people that never get vulnerable, like they never open up, they never let you see on the inside. And Jesus is saying that, it's funny, you never let me in. But you shouted my name from the rooftops, and you cast out demons, and you did all these external things except the internal thing of your heart. And I just want to say this. At your job and maybe in your family, most of your family and your friends presume they are going to get to heaven either because they do great works at their job or they do great works in the church. But the thing they miss is intimacy with Jesus. That's what heaven is. That's what, it's not the heritage. It's not how much you do. It is intimacy with Jesus. I have this restaurant across the street from my gym. Love it. Favorite restaurant. They have these eggs there. Favorite eggs. Amazing. Space called As You Are. Love it. And I love it because I go there. And I make eggs, but I can't make eggs like them. It's just wonderful. Best eggs I've ever had. And you know what? If I go there right now, it's open. I just go in, and you know what I do? I just pay my money. Walk out. Because that's how public restaurants work. You go in anytime, you make reservations, you pay the money, and then you leave. And I think that people presume that heaven is in many ways like a public restaurant. They think that as long as I paid with my good works, I will in some way get into this space that I deserve and that I've earned by my life. But heaven is not a public restaurant. It's a private dinner. And can you imagine somebody, you know, say you make really good eggs? And you don't know me, and I knock on the door and be like, yo, what's your name, Shamika? Hey, girl, how you doing? I heard you make some really good eggs. I do. You heard right. Yeah, I've been promoting your eggs all around town. I'm sorry. I don't know you. You can't come into a private space with a public attitude. The way you get in here isn't through money. I have relationship. And our fault is that we've been thinking heaven is a public restaurant, not a private dinner. a space where he's looking for intimate relationships. And why would you want to worship someone intimately in eternity that you haven't been worshiping privately on earth? And why would somebody let you into their home that doesn't know you? But they know all about you. No. Faith without works is dead. It is not our heritage. It is from the heart. God can light up your life today, no matter where you're at. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your kindness and your goodness. We pray, Heavenly Father, that today you would change us, make us look more like you, transform our lives. We ask that in the end, Holy Spirit, don't let us live in our heritage. Don't let us try to come across with a counterfeit faith. Rather, God, we pray that you'd give us the authentic, real thing by changing our hearts, lighting up our life. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you'd stand with me.
We hope this message was encouraging to you. We invite you to send us an email at info@bridgechurchnyc.com so we can hear how God used this message to speak to you. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Our handle on all our social media platforms is @bridgechurchnyc. Our website is bridgechurchnyc.com. If you're in the New York City area, we would love to see you on a Sunday. Our services are at 10:30 a.m. and noon on Sundays at 345 Adams Street in downtown Brooklyn. Thanks for listening to our podcast today, and we hope to see you soon.